So our family has a saying, it's either a good time or a good story. And this week, the awesome Ruth Steefe and I, here's a picture of Ruth, we took off on a journey to the University of Iowa Hospital. This was a routine follow-up. Everything's fine. For those of you who might not know, about 8 months ago, Ruth had surgery to remove a malignant cancerous tumor in her pelvis, and they removed that tumor as well as most of her right pelvis. And so she's been recovering ever since then. She's been in a wheelchair and now has graduated, yay rah, a couple or 3 weeks ago to a walker, and she's on the mend. But we went back to Iowa City on Thursday for some routine follow-up, a small procedure. But here's the thing. Before we got there, we were notified that I was not going to be allowed to join her in the hospital. I would have to stay outside the hospital. And so we pull up to the hospital, and there's an escort there to meet her, and everyone there has the shields on, the masks on. Ruth's got her mask on. They get her into the wheelchair, and off she goes. And she's on her way, and it's going to be about 4 hours of appointments, all right? So now, now what am I going to do? And here's a crazy thing, guys. Right as soon as that door closed and I was ready to go, I suddenly thought to myself, you know what? I really need to go to the bathroom. And where am I going to be able to do that? And so began the great Iowa City restroom quest. I want to tell you about it, guys. So I left the hospital grounds, and I'm like, where? Everything's closed in Iowa City. Nothing's open. I'm driving around, drove around for about 20 minutes. Nothing's open. I texted a friend of mine. He's a pastor there in Iowa City. And I said, hey, does your church building happen to be open? And he said, not really. Okay, so that was off. I texted another friend who lives there, and they said, well, you can come over to our house. We can all wear masks, and you can wear a mask, and it should be okay. And I was like, if I get really desperate, I'll choose that. But I said, I'm going to choose something else. I'm going to try to find something else. However, they did tell me before all this restroom quest about a nature trail. And so I said, I'll go to the nature trail. So I went to the nature trail, and I got there, and I thought, you know, it's a nature trail, and nature calls, right? All right? So I go out onto the nature trail, and I say, is this going to be okay, you know, out here? Can I, can I use the outdoor facilities? But there were people around, you know, and they were milling around, and every once in a while, a bicycle would rush by. And so I said, you know, I don't know about this. However, I will tell you guys, I did see in the distance, like in the trees behind some bushes, there was a man there who was obviously, taking care of business in nature, all right? But I thought to myself, you know, I don't know. I didn't like the headline on social media or, you know, on the internet, Des Moines pastor arrested for public urination in Iowa City. And I thought, nah, or worse. So I thought, I don't know. So if you ask me, I will neither confirm nor deny the use of the outdoor facilities on the nature trail. Got back in my car, and guess what? Ruth's appointments are now extended. It's not going to be 4 hours. It's going to be about 6 hours. And we had loaded up on, you know, coffee and iced tea and lemonade and everything. And it's like, okay. So then I spot a come and go. I thought, okay, come and go, right? So I get up there, and guess what? Nope. It's only curbside service. Ah, the quest continues. Finally, I found a Casey's, and at the Casey's, guys, you could go into the Casey's, and I said, this is a possibility. I went into the Casey's, and guess what? They had restrooms, and guess what? They were open, and so I waited socially distanced in line to use the Casey's restroom, and thus my quest was completed. That was the great Iowa City restroom quest. And guys, I told you, it's either a good time or it's a good story. And for me, that was a good story. You know, in the chaos of everything we're living in this coronavirus pandemic, we're trying to find happiness in this chaos. And I know for a lot of you, it's a lot more than just a silly story like that. You're facing some real issues. You're facing the prospect of job loss. Maybe you're not even working. Maybe you're concerned about health or someone you love. And so you're saying, this is chaotic. There's anxieties. There's uncertainties. And so, guys, I get that. I do get that. And we're all facing those at some degree or another. And, guys, I just want you to know that in the chaos of life, just like Ruth and I have been traveling through for the last 8 months, you can find happiness. And I've loved bringing you this psalm, Psalm 112, that is really about finding happiness in the chaos of life. And so we want to come to this, our third and final message in this. And I want you to pull up in a Bible and or go to the YouVersion app or whatever you do on your device. And let's dive into this for one last weekend. And then next weekend, we're looking forward to Mother's Day. So invite everybody. It's going to be a great time together. So this Psalm 112 is an acrostic psalm. That means it follows the Hebrew alphabet. Each line of it begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's kind of like the ABCs of happiness, all right? So it begins this way in verse 1. Hallelujah, happy is the person who fears the Lord, taking great delight in his commands. And here's the key principle we've been learning all along. The more you center your life on God, the more you will find deep happiness, guys. And so if you start by praising God, hallelujah, you find reasons to thank God. You find reasons to praise God. No matter how you're feeling, you may be depressed, you may be lonely, but you look for those things that you can truly, sincerely give thanks to God for. And then it says, happy is the person who fears the Lord. That is, you're going to find deep happiness when you trust God, when you put him first in your life, when you fear the Lord, you take him seriously. He's like the first place, first thing in your whole life. And then it says, and taking great delight in his commands. That is, you find the word of God. You read the word of God. You take messages from the word of God. You take them to heart and you say, I want this to be a part of my life. I love this. I take delight in this. Lord, do this in my life. Lord, show that promise to be true in my life. And you delight in his commands. And the promise is, the more you center your life on God, the more you will find deep happiness. All right, guys? So that's what we're getting. And here's all the results of that. So we'll just walk through these where we've been. You get a person like that who delights in God. And it says, his descendants will be powerful in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. In other words, your life has a lasting impact. Wealth and riches are in his house. You experience God's provision. You know, we talked about God's abundantly provided for us in so many ways, mind, body, spirit, financially, materially, physically, and most of all, spiritually through Jesus Christ. And so he provides for us. And that makes us happy. We're grateful for that. He goes on, his righteousness endures forever. In other words, the good works that you do actually continue to influence people forever. Light shines in the darkness for the upright. It means you thrive even in the hard times. You can still thrive even though it's tough. It says he is gracious, compassionate, and righteous. This means you become more and more like Jesus. Do you have a yes face or a no face? It's all too easy for us to just not even realizing, without even thinking about that, we've got a no face. It's like, no, I want to be bothered. No, I don't have time. And I hope as followers of Jesus, as we're filled up with the Holy Spirit of God, that we're filled with the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, that our hearts will tell our face and that our face will be a yes face. That people will look at us and say, now there's somebody I could go to in an hour of need. Because the Lord knows our community, your neighbors, your family needs you. And your yes face now. Of any time in our history, we need more yes faces. So that is what this person who delights in the word of God has. Gracious, compassionate, and righteousness. Righteous. Go on to verse 5. Good will come to the one who is generous and lends freely. Your generosity returns good to you. And guys, I just want to take a moment to say thank you for your incredible generosity and sacrifice. As you know, this is crunch time. It's crunch time for the church family. It's also crunch time for our community. And you have sacrificially given to meet the needs of our church family, and I so appreciate that. Keep that going strong. And also, you have over and above your regular giving given to meet the needs of our community. And in fact, you have given incredibly to our Koinonia Fund. We have already been able to give $25,000. We'll hear a little bit about how that was used. And then on top of that, you gave another $27,000, which we're now beginning to be able to distribute to people in need in our community. So God bless your heart. I asked Jeremy Dyveg, who is the director of the Valley Community Center, to share a little bit about how your generosity is making an impact in Des Moines as we love our community.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for your generosity. We've been able to bless our community by delivering more than 600 gift cards to frontline healthcare workers, to refugees in our community, and to single parents. Thank you so much. We've also been able to deliver groceries, household supplies, to hundreds of people over the past 4 weeks. And we're just getting started, guys. The needs continue, so continue to drop off groceries and supplies and letters at the community center. Thank you so much, and keep it coming, everybody.
So yay, Rob Valley Church, way to go. And you know what? The promise of the Word of God is good will come to those who are generous. God has a way of honoring you and blessing you when you're generous like that. So I am so thankful and grateful for you guys. Also, it goes on to say, good will come to those who conduct their business fairly. Your integrity is rewarded. Verse 6, he'll never be shaken. You're calm in the midst of a crisis. Supernatural peace can be given to you, even in the midst of a crisis. Years ago, way back in the 90s, I had a friend of mine who lived in Washington, D.C., and his brother, who's also a follower of Jesus, came to visit him. And they were discussing if they ended up in a live shooter situation. And the brother said, you know, I don't think I could handle that. I think I would just panic, and I wouldn't know what to do. And his brother, my friend, said, you know what? I really believe that in the moment, God's grace would give you the courage and the wisdom to know exactly what to do in that moment. And he said, well, maybe. Anyway, the next day, he is out as a tourist in Washington, D.C., and he ends up in front of the White House. And guess what? There was a live shooter. A guy took out an automatic weapon, and he was firing shots at the White House and hitting windows in the White House. And my friend is behind one of those concrete bunkers, you know, they put down, and he's kind of huddled behind there. He says, what am I going to do? And he was watching this guy firing these shots, and it just came over him, and he says, I've got to do something. And you know what he did? He got up. The shooter began to reload, he got up, ran a short distance, knocked him down, and disabled him. And then about 20 Secret Service agents came about 30 seconds later. And he said, I didn't think I could do that. But you know what? The grace of God gave him the calm that he needed in that crisis to potentially save many lives. So this is what the people of God do. They're calm in crisis. They don't freak out. They keep it together. And we may have our moments of emotional panic. I get it. But we rise above those initial emotional reactions to be able to bring calm to the situation. He goes on to say, the righteous one will be remembered forever. You leave a lasting legacy. It's the kind of people who lead unforgettable lives. Don't you want your life to be unforgettable? Take your faith seriously, delight in the Word of God, live out these qualities, and people are going to remember you. As I was preparing this message, you know, a person came to mind here at Valley Church. Her name is Jackie Mars. Jackie Mars was a member of our church for many years, and 10 years ago, this summer, she went to be with the Lord. She died at the age of 53 from ovarian cancer. Jackie Mars was a quiet woman, but she was an incredibly dedicated Christian. She's the only person, and I've done many memorial services and funerals, guys. She's the only person who ever wrote her own funeral message. And she was so quiet, she says, I would never get up in front, but I want you to share this. And so I did. I want to just share a few of the things she said that day 10 years ago. Here's what she wrote. She wrote, what I have learned most in my 53 plus years and what I want to say the most to you is that when it is all said and done, There's only one thing that matters: where you stand with God. The heartache we feel, the pain, the sense of loss tells us there is something very wrong in the world. This isn't right. Our world is broken, and this brokenness, this death, will come to us all. When I was young, I knew about God. I honored God to some extent by following traditions and trying to be a good church-going person. But it wasn't until I attended a meeting that I realized I didn't know God in a personal way. By personal, I mean that we all know of people and we know about people, but it is different when we really know someone personally. I came to the difficult reality that this was missing in my spiritual life. I saw in others a faith that I didn't have. It had been quite confusing until I came to understand it was a relationship that was missing, not a label or even a difference of belief. And so that night, a new life began for me when I heard this. I prayed to God and asked Jesus to be my personal Savior. The person that I believed actually went to the cross and died for me. In so doing, he paid for my lack of holiness, something God demands. He stood in my place. What was missing was the understanding that he wanted a relationship with me. He was reaching out to me that night and asked me to be in relationship with him. He stood with outstretched, nail-scarred hands and asked me to let him into my life and surrender myself to him. I surrendered my life to a Savior who truly loves me just as I am. Over the years, God has been working on me to make me into the likeness of Jesus. We have experienced pain at the loss of our daughter, Holly, the trial of her husband, Jim, she says, Jim's brain surgery, as well as the indescribable joy of seeing our children grow into godly adults. Then to add these little grandchildren as packages of unconditional love to it all is beyond joy. All of the time, God was preparing me for what was to come. Mrs. Mars, I am sorry to tell you, but it appears you have ovarian cancer. Cancer, words that no one ever wants to hear. Cancer, what does this mean? What is ovarian cancer? What next? Chemo, surgery, what? What I looked to was outside myself. This now became a spiritual issue. Did I believe what I said was true all these years? Was Jesus really personal and there with me? The answer was yes. From the outset that I committed to and became, this became my perspective, were these, quote from Psalm 138, "The Lord will fulfill his purpose in me. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I will praise the Lord who counsels me even at night. My heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken." And guys, just I want to say, I saw Jackie Mars through all of that, and never once was she shaken. It was difficult, it was hard, but she stood firm and strong, an amazing woman of God. She went on. She said, "God has been faithful to me, and his strength has sustained me. Furthermore, it has allowed me to grow closer to my friends, my family, and my Savior. You see, my journey didn't really start 3.5 years ago. It started 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to the cross for me. When I surrendered my life to his, I became his and he became mine. He has promised me life with him and I have no fear. If I were here today," she writes, "I would ask you if you have a true and personal relationship with God. Do you truly know him? Or do you just know about him?" The clearest word we have from God that determines our destiny is from 1 John 5. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Finally, now to everyone, this I know. I am right where I want to be, in the presence of the Lord. Cancer may have taken my life on earth, but it did not defeat me. My journey did not end. Jesus has brought me to himself. He has summoned me by name. I am his and he is mine. And for those of you who have the Son, I now await your arrival after whatever journey God may take you on. in his love, the love of Jesus, Jackie. Such powerful words. The righteous one will be remembered forever. You leave a lasting impact when God is first place in your life, like it was in the life of Jackie Mars. Don't you want to live that kind of life? Don't you want your family and your friends to remember you like that? Then live that life now. Let's go on in this passage. He says in verse 7, this person seeking God, he will not fear bad news. His heart is confident, trusting in the Lord. His heart is assured. He will not fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. You see, you don't need to fear the future. If you're really trusting God, yeah, I know their anxieties will come, and that's normal. You're a totally normal person. But you step back and you say, God's got me. He's got my back. And you don't need to have fear just dominate your life. The Bible is painfully realistic about the suffering we have to undergo. That's real. But he says, you don't have to give in to that emotional response and make that where you stay. Instead, you can say, okay, I'm going to live in the midst of this chaos, but I will not fear because God has my back. And that's awesome. God is in control. Today, I want to ask you, do you know that God is in control? You know, there's a story in the Old Testament. It's in 2 Kings chapter 6. And Elisha is a great prophet, and a huge army had surrounded the people of God. And his servant, Elisha's servant, was very afraid. And he said, we're going to be destroyed. And Elisha prayed to God this prayer. He said to his servant first, don't be afraid, for those who are with us outnumber those who are with them, that army. And then Elisha prayed, Lord, please open his eyes and let him see. So the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw that the mountain was covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The truth is, if we could for a moment see the spiritual realities, the armies of the Lord around us, the chariots of fire that surround us, even in the midst of the chaos that we're experiencing, we would not be afraid. And so I would just ask you to say, God, open my eyes and my heart to know that you are with me always. In fact, that was Jesus' very last words to us. He gave us the great commission to make disciples. And then as he ascended into heaven, he says, and I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Guys, we learn in verse 9, this person who fears the Lord, he says he distributes freely to the poor. The poor here, the word here is somebody who's helpless, who's hurting, who's hopeless. It's not just materially poor. It could be a lot of ways. And there's a good friends of mine, Darren and Erica Stevenson, and a number of years ago, Darren had a very serious accident in which he had a spinal cord injury that resulted in him being permanently disabled. And yet through it all, they've hung on to their faith in Jesus, and God has given a measure of restoration to Darren, but he's still not what he was before this accident. But you know what? They're the most upbeat, positive people, and they are making a difference just in their neighborhood. And I wanted you to hear a little bit about what they're doing in their neighborhood to bless our community. Check it out here.
After I got hurt when things were really hard, and hope and faith seemed crushed, the generosity that we received from so many people was just such a great encouragement. And I learned how to lean on their hope and lean on their faith in a time of crisis. And watching them experience joy as they gave to us, it's hard to be on the receiving end. And I had to learn how to receive their generosity and discovered eventually how much joy there is in giving. And really consider the things that we have not our things, but just things that we're stewards of that God has given us. And so we were able to so much more freely give generously. And so Erica had this idea after Pastor Brandon's message on how are you going to be remembered during COVID-19 to build a Lending Treehouse.
Let's take the little library idea and let's create a treehouse, put it in our front yard, and call it the Giving Treehouse. We just joyfully, excitedly stocked it full of toilet paper, non-perishable snacks, kids' activities, crayons, sidewalk chalk, just whatever extras that we had on hand. That's what we did. It's brought so much joy to our family and hopefully to our neighbors as well. You don't have to do a huge thing like construct a treehouse like we did. It can be something simple. My son put on his Halloween costume just for fun. I sent him out in to our street to walk around in character as a Star Wars character and wave and bring joy to our neighbors. It could be something quirky, it can be silly, it can be anything that would make you smile. Chances are it's gonna make someone else smile. And over time, we hope that every giving opportunity, every opportunity to love will be another step into building goodwill with our neighbors and having inroads to sharing the gospel and the good news of Jesus with them.
Hey, that's great. And they're right. It doesn't have to be spectacular. It doesn't have to be enormous. Just small little things. Just being generous to the people around you. They'll remember it. Years from now, they'll remember you in the midst of this coronavirus pandemic. Paul actually, it says here, the Proverbs writer says, his righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. It means your generosity and your character gains honor. People will remember this. Your horn was your symbol of strength. It says that's going to be exalted. Do you want to be happy? Then become generous. Have integrity. Don't be afraid. Shine in the darkness. Remain calm in a crisis. Be compassionate. Do the right thing. Fear the Lord. Take him seriously. And delight in his word. And the promise of God's word is his righteousness endures forever. He will exalt you and give you honor. They will be talking about the great coronavirus pandemic of 2020 decades to come. How do you want them to remember you? What do you want your children and your grandchildren and your neighbors to say about you and how you lived during this? This, they can see in you an example of Jesus, and they can see in you an example of joy, of a person who is truly happy in the midst of it. Verse 10, he concludes by saying, the wicked one will see it and be angry. He's going to see, he wants followers of Christ to fall and be destroyed, but instead he sees them prosper, and he sees them do well, and he sees them joyful, and it just makes him angry. He will gnash his teeth in despair. The desire of the wicked leads to ruin. People who reject God will experience exactly the opposite of what the people of God can experience. The people of God can experience happiness. And that's the end of the ABCs of happiness. And we go back to the very first verse, back to verse 1. Hallelujah. Happy is the person who fears the Lord, taking great delight in his commands. You trust the Lord and you find deep happiness. So guys, the last 3 weekends, we've been on a quest, and it wasn't some silly restroom quest. It was a quest to find joy and deep happiness. And what we've learned, guys, is that deep happiness is found in a relationship with God. It's found in taking him seriously, putting him first, seeing all these qualities come out in your life, and taking great delight in his commands. Guys, it's my prayer that through this, through the chaos of this pandemic, you will find joy and find happiness in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Can we all pray now? Father, I pray for that one out there in their living room, in their car, at work, and maybe they're just like Jackie Mars. Maybe they've known all about you, but they have never come into a personal relationship with you. And I pray that even today, that person, wherever they are, will say in their own words, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I want to experience that joy. I want to experience that forgiveness. I want to have a personal relationship with you. And today, they will cross the line of faith and trust in you personally. Let them know that is real. And Father, for all of us, I pray that this Psalm 112 will ring in our hearts, not just for this weekend, but for years and years to come, and that we can return back to this psalm again and again and find that in you, by trusting in you and putting you first, centering our lives on you, we can find deep happiness. That's our prayer. And that's my prayer for every single person listening here today. And all God's people agreed and said, amen. Amen. Guys, God bless you. If you happen to be one of those who crossed that line of faith, please send me an email, make a comment in the chat room, say, I crossed the line today and I'm coming to faith in Jesus. We would love to hear from you. And for everybody, we'll see you next weekend and look forward to catching up online again. God bless you all.